This video assumes you've previously built the SharePoint pop-up lab. If not, watch the video instructions at http://aka.ms/sp_pop-up-lab. The first job is to go to http://windowsazure.com and click the Downloads button. This takes me to links for the various command line tools. Click the Windows Azure PowerShell link. Save the file onto your hard drive and then run the installation. I've already got it installed, so I'm going to skip this part. Once the PowerShell commandlets are installed, you'll need a publish profile from Azure to inform PowerShell about your Azure subscription, credentials, and so on. Go to http://windows.azure.com/download/publishprofile.aspx. My screen shows a corporate Active Directory login, but if you're using a free subscription, you'll use a Microsoft account to log in, like a Live ID, Outlook.com, or a Hotmail account. Ignore the instructions on this page. They're aimed at getting the published profile into Visual Studio. We're using Windows Azure PowerShell. Save the file to your local hard drive. If you happen to have multiple subscriptions under the control of your login, you'll notice the file name embeds them. I have two subscriptions, Windows Azure Internal Consumption and Azure Free Trial. Looking at the subscriptions list in the Azure portal, I can see the two subscriptions, Windows Azure Internal Consumption and Azure Free Trial. You can see I already have a subscription saved. The only difference between the two is the date the file was generated. I'll stick with my existing file, but you need to save the file. The next job is to create a storage account in the portal. I click New at the bottom of the page and select Data Services, Storage, Quick Create, and give it a URL. In this case, Planky Pop-Up 2. And in this case, I specify it's going to be in North Europe, the most logical location for somebody based in England. I also pick which subscription this will be billed under. In the case of a free subscription, you'll get up to 70 gigabytes per month for free for the duration of the trial. That's 70 gigabytes of used space. So if you create a 20 gigabyte disk and it only contains 500 megabytes of actual data, you only lose 500 megabytes off your 70 gigabyte allocation. It takes a few minutes to create the storage account, but I use video editing to shift things along a little quicker. You can now see, in the dashboard, you have places to store blobs, tables, and queues. VHDs get stored as .vhd files in blobs. The best way to set up PowerShell is to right-click the Azure PowerShell icon and Run ISE as Administrator. By typing Get Azure Subscription, you can see IntelliSense pops up to help with the command completion. I can see the two subscriptions I have, the Azure Free Trial and Windows Azure Internal Consumption. I tell PowerShell which subscription and storage account it should use from now on, so I type set Azure subscription minus subscription name, and then I copy the name from the previous command so I get it exactly right and paste it into the command line, and I continue with minus current storage account. And although I use Planky DevCamp, you will use the account you created in the portal earlier. Now open the first script, which you can get from http://aka.ms/popupscripts. It's called sharepointpopuplabs.ps1. Let me briefly show you a few of these variables. The location is North Europe. I don't actually use this because I use an affinity group, which I'll explain later, but you may find it useful as you go on to develop these scripts yourself. VNet, or virtual network, is set to SPNet. You can see in the portal it's the virtual network you created in the SharePoint pop-up lab. Oops, let me just get rid of that spare PowerShell console. Subnet is set to Subnet 1, which you can see in the portal. Affinity group is VNet AG, just the same as its definition in the portal. The service name is SP2010 Planky. You'll of course use your own service name. In the portal, you can see the service name as the first element in the DNS name of the service. You can now see all the machine names, SPADDC, SPSQL, SP1, SP2, and I've clearly been playing around because here is a new machine, SP3. It's just an extra server added to the SharePoint farm. If you followed the previous video and created a two-server SharePoint farm, you can comment out the references to SP3. Now I'm going to move on to the disks. This first one is the domain controller's operating system disk, which is set to this value. Where did I get that from? Well, it's in the portal on the dashboard of the machine. You can see the values of the two names are the same. The next one is the DIT disk. You can see it's the same value in the portal. You might remember from the previous video, the file name was set to SPADDC drive F. Well, that's the file name under which this disk is stored in blob storage. The name used by the portal and the system is automatically generated by Windows Azure. You use these names when dealing with objects in Windows Azure, but if you ever want to copy the VHD to your own data center, that's when you go to the VHD's container in the blob and specify the file name, which in this case is spaddc-drive-f.vhd. You can also see the SQL operating system disk and also the two extra drives that I set up for data and logs. I'm calling them the OS disk drive F and drive G. You can see they were copied straight out of the portal. And finally, you can see SP1, SP2 and SP3, and they are here in the portal. SP1, SP2 and SP3. Now that you've taken the disk names from your running SharePoint pop-up lab and populated the PowerShell script with them, you can save the file, which I'll come back to later. First though, I'm going to use a PowerShell script to automate the deprovisioning of the pop-up lab. Open removepopup.ps1, which you can get from http://aka.ms/popupscripts. I set the service name to SP2010 Planky. You would obviously use your own service name. And then you can see I've got variables for all the different machines in the service: SP1, SP2, SP3, SPADDC, and SPSQL. The first thing I do is shut the machine down cleanly with Stop Azure VM. It needs a machine name and a service name. In this case, SP1 is held within the $SHPT1 variable, and the SP2010 Planky is held within the $ServiceName variable. Once the machine has stopped, nice and cleanly, then I delete it off the hypervisor. Its state remains in blob storage, so I can reboot it later. But if I want to stop being charged or having hours taken away from my free allocation, then I need to remove it. I do this with remove Azure VM and specify a machine name and service name as with the previous commandlet. Then I stop and remove SP2, SP3, SPSQL and SPADDC, going all the way through until eventually I get to remove Azure service. It removes the SP20 Planky service. The minus force option just stops the script asking, are you sure you want to remove this service? The proof of the pudding is in the eating, so I'll run the script. This is all speeded up, but you can see the Verse VM is stopped and then removed. I'll check this by looking in the portal. You can see SP1 is now missing. Now the next machine has stopped and been removed, and if I look in the portal, let me just refresh the page, you can see SP2 has gone. And finally, super speeded up, the last three VMs are stopped and removed, meaning all the machines have been stopped and removed. The portal shows there are no machines remaining. If I now type get Azure service minus service name SP2010 Planky, you can see the service doesn't exist. First, I'll close the old script down and clear the screen, then open the script I was working on earlier, sharepointpopuplab.ps1. Yours should now contain all the correct disk names, and if you've used different machine names and so on, those should be reflected in the edited file. I create an object called $MyDNS, which is fed with the $DNS server address variable, which is set earlier in the file to 10.0.0.4. This object, $MyDNS, will be used later to instruct the DIP, or Dynamic IP system in Windows Azure, to put 10.0.0.4 into the DNS server address when it delivers the IP configuration to the machines. As far as the machines are concerned, they think they get their DNS server addresses from DHCP. I'm going to look at SPADDC first. This will be the first machine booted into the service, and it will end up at 10.0.0.4. I take all this configuration information and I feed it into this object called $SPADDC. It takes the name of the server, the instance size, small. Remember in the previous video I used a medium instance? Well, now the machines are built. I use a small instance size, and that's perfectly adequate for a small lab environment. And it takes the operating system disk name. I then also add the DIT disk, and that goes on to LUN 0. I feed in the subnet, but notice at this stage I haven't yet said which virtual network. That'll come later. I add the remote desktop protocol. One thing you notice here is that I map port 3389, the RDP port, onto a high-numbered port, 50267, for the internet connection. That's because all these servers share a common internet IP address. In order to be able to distinguish between them, I use a port mapping. And whenever I want to connect to the machine over RDP, I specify the port in the RDP connection. In this case, I would say SP2010planky.cloudapp.net:50267. That would map onto port 3389 on the correct machine. I do the same thing for the SQL machine to create the $SPSQL object. Then I get to the SharePoint servers, which are slightly different. I'm also adding a load balanced endpoint to get the load balancer working on port 80. For this, I need to set the -lb setname, or load balance setname. In this case, I call it lbweb. I also set up a probe port. You can see I specify the same lb setname for SP2 and SP3. Once all the configuration objects have been set up, I take $SPADDC, $SPSQL, $SP1, $SP2, and $SP3, and I feed them all into the new Azure VM commandlet. This is where I tell it the service name, the virtual network name, the list of VM objects, the DNS object I set right up at the beginning of the script, and because this is a brand new service, I also specify the affinity group, and that locks it into a specific data center, in this case Northern Europe, Dublin. If I'd been provisioning into an existing service, then I wouldn't specify the affinity group. But to keep things super clean, I also deprovision the service with the remove pop-up script you saw earlier, so I obviously need to reprovision. You could add some logic to test for the existence of the service first. So now, if I run that script, I should be able to monitor progress. First, the cloud service, SP2010planky, is created. Next, the first VM is provisioned. The column width isn't big enough to see, but it's SPADDC. And then, super speeded up, the rest of the VMs are provisioned into that service. I can now see in the portal all the VMs are provisioned and running. Looking at the endpoint configuration of each machine, you can see that SP3, SP2, and SP1 have a load balanced endpoint on port 80. To test the pop-up lab, I can copy the DNS name into the paste buffer, open up a new tab, and try it out. You can see the first page is delivered by SP1. On refresh, it came from SP3. Refresh again, and it's SP2. Another refresh, and it's SP3. Then it does SP3 a few times before going back to SP1, and so it goes on, load balancing the traffic. Now, I'm going to start with an empty portal and pop up a new SharePoint lab. But this time, I'll put the clock up so you can see the time it takes to pop it up. It started at 12:06:18. Speeding time up. That finished at 12:11:07. But if I go over to the portal, you can see the last machine is actually still booting. And it stops at 2:12:47. So the total provisioning time is 6:29. I'll just prove it is actually working by going to the site in a different tab. If I refresh a few times, you can see it's load balancing properly. Now, if I open up the other script, I can time the pop down process. It started at 12:14:02, so, like before, speeding up time. The script finishes at 12:21:51, a total pop down time of 7:49. Just checking in the portal to make sure the lab has been truly popped down and all the servers have disappeared. You've built a SharePoint pop-up lab and automated the pop-up and pop-down processes using PowerShell. Now, any time you need to pop up a lab, you know that within a few minutes of making the decision, you can have a running SharePoint environment, and that within a few minutes you can pop it back down again. You can do this from anywhere you can get an internet connection. Some people have an extra small instance running permanently with all their pop-up lab scripts installed, so they can even fire up a lab from their phone using a remote desktop app. If you want to know how this pop-up lab was built in the first place, watch the video at http://aka.ms/sp_pop-up-lab. You can get a free Windows Azure trial subscription at http://aka.ms/azure_trial.